All right. Thank you and welcome to the call. My name is James Wedmore with RealityMastermind.com, and I have with me a very special guest, Coach Deb. So excited to have her on the call. I've been doing a series of teleseminars. Basically, this is my teleseminar adventure as I've been documenting my process of trying to learn, you know, quote-unquote, internet marketing, how to live that elusive internet lifestyle. And so I figured, why not go to all the experts and industry leaders who are just rocking it online and get as much of the info and knowledge and wisdom from them and extract it upon everyone else who is willing to listen, as I am willing to take notes and whatnot. So on this call, I have with me none other than Coach Deb. And Deb, I'm going to try and give you the best little intro that I can from what you've told me, what I've gathered, and what I've done my research on you. But Coach Deb is a small business coach that's been in this industry for over 10 years, and she has a huge influence in the blogging, social media, and internet marketing world. Author of Twitter Revolution, which happened to be like the first book on Twitter, Secrets of Online Persuasion, and she's also the creator of BlogEye360, which I just picked up, and that rocks. And she's also the author of Tribal Seduction. And she's going to be speaking to us today on everything about social media, blogging, Twitter, and how we can apply that to business so we can be making money with it and not just wasting hours a day on there like I do. So, Deb, how you doing?
Excellent. I'm excited. I'm on a high because I now have internet connection after being in 2 weeks of withdrawal after my move. So I'm very excited. I literally got it about 60 minutes before this call. So
instead of on the internet, you're going to be on the call.
Yes.
Sorry.
You're keeping me away from the internet.
Yeah, well, awesome. I really thank you so much for taking the time to be on this call. I really appreciate it. We are going to have some fun with this. We've kind of intentionally made it a little less structured so that we can get everyone to ask questions if they have anything, and really give you the content that people want. So let's get started. I want to hear a little bit about your background and your story, Deb. If you could just start there, and we'll go from there.
What do you want to hear?
Oh, geez. I don't know. Give me something about you know, how did you get online and.
I think the biggest motivation for me was when I moved from the East Coast of New Jersey, New York metropolitan area where there were a ton of people to the remote small island. I don't know if anyone's heard of it, but Oahu, Hawaii. And I was literally on the North Shore where Lost is filmed. That neighborhood where they play golf, where they have the large barriers for them to go through. Of course, those barriers are not really there in the valley. But I was really isolated, and now that I've moved back to the mainland and I'm settled in California, still on the opposite coast here of New Jersey, but back where there's people, you know, where you get a tweet up and there's 100 people there easily. But I didn't realize how isolated I was, but I knew that if my business was to survive, I had to find a way to market and do things online and network online, because in-person networking in Hawaii, it's more limited than the mainland. You know, you might get 10, 20 quality prospects in a meeting as opposed to 50 or 60 and just try to meet as many people as possible. You know, here your challenge is, how do I meet as many people in person and have that quality connection? In Hawaii, it's, let's get as many people as possible so I can hopefully get, you know, a couple of people that really need my services. So very quickly we realized that we needed to do things online. And that's when I discovered blogging. I was just so excited when I saw how that worked for my business, how I connect with people. I literally have never had to do any type of magazine or advertising that was for pay. Everything has always been free, you know, again, barring different tools, and obviously you pay for internet and things like that, but nothing where you have to pay monthly services for ads. It's always been through new media. And what I tell people that have heard about social media now with Twitter and Facebook and MySpace, it's really the same thing as new media. It's been around for several years now. And social media is really just new media with lipstick on. It's just a little more social, but it's the same thing. It's still putting information, content, in the hands of the everyday user, like you, like me, like anyone on the call right now. You are the author of new media versus the cable networks or the networks, the ABC channels, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, right? That's old media. That's where you've got this elite authority that dispenses the information and dispenses the news. Well, but right before the turn of the century, you had a huge revolution happen with bloggers with the takedown of Dan Rather. If anyone remembers that, he was basically reporting on doctored information. There were doctored documents, and there was no fact-checking, but there was fact-checking with the blogosphere, and they released the truth of it. It spread like wildfire, and he was taken down. He was taken off the network, and that's really when all of a sudden bloggers got this authority and recognition where people were saying, you know, maybe these bloggers aren't just people doing their blogging and journaling from their pajamas. Right? Maybe we should pay attention to them. They exposed things like the code for kryptonite lock on how you could break a secure lock. There's a lot of different things that happen and spread virally, just like word of mouth. When you hear something and you tell a friend, you tell a friend. It's the same thing with blogging. It's the same thing with new media, Twitter, Facebook, whatever channel you're using for your new media channel to get the word out. That's what new media is. So for me, my background was realizing the power of new media. That's when we wrote the book, Secrets of Online Persuasion, because we realized we didn't want to just call it blogging, because we saw it as something much bigger than that. And in as the case would be, it did become something bigger. And then Twitter is just the hottest, fastest-growing network. And then we wrote Twitter Revolution last August, and that was the first book on Twitter. And that's because we saw how the people were using the tool. And that's really all you want to think about is how do you use the tool personally for your business, for you, for your brand, for your web presence? How do you use it? How do you set the strategy, get out there, get the word out, get brand recognition, and get your brand recognized and remembered at the point of need? So when they need your services, they think of James Wedmore. They think of Coach Deb. They think of, you know, who you are. Just like when you have a headache, you want to think of the aspirin of choice, right? What do you think of? Tylenol, Advil, Motrin? What do you think of? Well, you need to be remembered at the point of need. So if you're taking notes, that's the first thing that I'd write down, unless you were here before the call started and we were talking about getting your picture up there. That might be the first thing. Otherwise, you put that down there as far as getting your web presence known, and use Twitter like you would PR, because that's really all it is.
I like that. So overall, obviously I've known this and everyone else should too, but like one of the biggest benefits of using social media is it's free.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't at the same time, it comes down to, well, if it's free, everyone's going to be using it, and now all your stuff has the potential to just get lost in the clutter of everybody else's message. And then, of course, you have all the people spamming. You know, we get all those Twitter messages about getting your 30,000 followers in 16 days. And,
from the person who has 30.
Right. What is kind of like really taking a step back, the big picture strategy we look for just in general with social media so that we're not – a part of the clutter,
mm-hmm.
Unique.
Yeah, that's a very good point, James, because with the popularity of Twitter and with it going mainstream with celebrities endorsing it and talking about it, Ashton Kutcher had billboards, right? He used old media channels in order to talk about Twitter, which is, again, fantastic because you're getting more of the marketplace there. The part that, just like with blogging, if you were doing it when it was first hot, And you didn't poo-poo it and you go, all right, there is really something to it, and you started it, you had an edge just because you blogged. Well, now everybody and their mother and grandmother has a blog, so now you need to differentiate yourself. Right? With anything in marketing, if you're first, if you're there in the mind and you share mind space in the mind of your prospect, well, you have an edge because you were there first. But if you're a late adopter to the technology, that's when you have to think about differentiating yourself. So that way, okay, yes, you're another aspirin company, but what makes you different? What makes you better than all the other aspirin companies? So if you're a coach, if you're a realtor, whatever it is that you do, you want to differentiate yourself both using new media and in general, in your marketing material, with your brochures, your business card. How do you stand out from the rest? And that's where you need to employ a good business strategy and a social media system so that you're not doing things just like everyone else. And that's really important. And what I would do is sit down and say, well, what are the three things that I'm going to tweet about that will make me and my company, my services, products, whatever it is that you offer, known and remembered? So what will I tweet about? You know, what are the three things? And I like to think about an emotion that you want your prospect, your client to think about and feel. Because if you're just thinking about the product or the services and you're not tapping into the heart of people, you're not going to be remembered. Right? People remember moments. Right? It's not the fact, it's the moments that get remembered and instilled in them so that at the point of need, you're the person that's top of mind. Because you're top of heart, too. Right? There's an emotional connection. And when you can do that, that's when you've differentiated yourself. So the other thing is have systems, use tools so that you're not doing everything yourself and you're not spending the entire day on social media because, you know, James, you and I had a conversation about a week ago or so where it doesn't matter. You know, just earlier we were talking about how, oh, well, you get spammed and get 30,000 followers. It doesn't matter how many followers you have if you're not connecting with real people.
Right.
If you're not there yourself, and if it's not in your target market, you could have 30,000 nebulous teenagers following you, and if you have a product for seniors or for PMS, well, it's irrelevant, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you have 7-year-olds following you, so you want to go after your specific target market to follow you. Plus, if you're not taking care of people and paying attention to them, which is very hard to do with 30,000, again, it's not going to bring you any cash. Like I think you had said, you can't go anywhere and cash in your followers for cash or product, you know, reimbursement.
Right. There isn't a Twitter follower bank.
There isn't. Right?
Cash in for money.
Yeah. So don't just get hung up on the follower numbers. Think about how do you leverage them? And that's where a strategy and a system needs to come in place where you're going to offer something of value and be a person of value, just like at a party if someone met you, but ultimately there's going to be that business conversation. You're either going to be able to help them, they're going to be able to help you, or you'll be able to connect one another to someone in your network that
right.
that person needs access to.
Right. And just to go off, I mean, the whole numbers and followers things, a few things to say off that. I mean, first off, I remember juxtaposing like about 8 months ago, like towards the end of 2008, and it was like a big deal to find someone with over 1,000 or 2 followers.
Mm-hmm.
And today with like bots and a bunch of other people just jumping on to Twitter all of a sudden,
right.
it's like everyone's got 20, 40,000 followers all of a
mm-hmm.
sudden.
Right.
And I mean, I remember just like, you know, being completely organic
mm-hmm.
and, you know, to get 1,000 followers was like a lot. And it really came down to like a quality over a quantity thing,
mm-hmm.
and you really knew that, you know, if you had 600 followers, like each one of those 600 people were most likely reading what you had to say. They were reading your tweets and whatnot.
Yep. Yeah.
And then the other thing I was going to say is, like, I mean, if you just look at it as a way to syndicate your information
mm.
and talk to the masses, you don't really know if anyone's even listening. Instead of using it as a way to just talk one-on-one with people that you want to connect better with.
Right.
You know, that's how I stayed connected with you after I met you at a conference and, you know, a lot of other people. So that's been my strategy is to
mm-hmm.
get to know people that, you know, someone speaks on stage in a conference and the first thing that happens when they get off stage in a conference is everyone in the room swarms them,
mm-hmm.
asks them a million questions. And then when you're right there on Twitter and you say something real quick to them, they're going to reply to you.
Right.
And you get that conversation going.
Yep.
So it doesn't necessarily need to be something where you're like, yes, go check out my blog post, or yes, read this, or go buy this, or go click this link. It's like you just connect with people so much better.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at your profile right now, and you're 7,700 followers. I look at for instance, okay, at a conference we met. I have your business card, and you know, you put your Twitter handle, which is smart. That's another tip for people to use on their business card. Put your Facebook handle, put your Twitter handle, so that people can connect with you using the channel and medium that they like. I mean, I love Twitter because I look at it as my living Rolodex. It's a way for me to connect people with one another. And, you know, James, his services are needed by, you know, Cash_Nana, you know, for video. Hey, I can say, hey, let's introduce you. And right there, not only have the two of you met, but then anyone following me, following you, or following Cash Nana says, oh, I need video services too, or, oh, I need whatever it is, right, that either of you offer, and then they follow both of you as well. So I look at it, and, okay, I meet you at a conference, I go back, I follow you, and I look at someone who has 7,700 followers, and I go, this person is not using a robot, number one, because every day you're not increasing by 1,000. That's like the quickest way you know if someone's using a robot, because the maximum is to add 1,000 more people. You're also being followed by more people than are following you. People who are using robots will typically be following 1,000 or 2,000 more, because, again, there's the limit. You can't follow more than 2,000 people more. So that's how I find people that have real influence versus pseudo, or people call it fictitious influence. And that's important, because you want to know, does James really have access, and has he met on Twitter these people, or was it just his robot following this person's robot and that robot following back? And that's where no communication is happening at all. It's just this fictitious, inflated number. The way I like to track who's paying attention at what times, again, going back to getting a strategy for Twitter, find out what times your followers are most likely to pay attention to your tweets. So pictures, use a TwitPic, use snipurl.com. You can get the service there, or there's a variety of ways of places that you can shorten a URL and then track it. So I'll use a snip URL for the same, say, teleconference or the same product or the same type of tweet that I want someone to look at. Maybe it's a blog entry. But I'll use three different snip URLs so that I can track and I can see what times a day that they're clicking on it. So that's really important for me to know. I don't care necessarily that I've got 20, you know, close to 20,000 followers and following 10. I want to know how many people are clicking on the information that I share when I share it. You know, how many people are looking. You know, so if I tweet out a picture and I get 70 people within minutes looking at that, and it's 3 p.m., you know what? That tells me do that, because when I tweet at 12 midnight, I get 30 people, you know, or 10 people, right? So that's really important to find out when are people paying attention. And then sometimes 70 people are paying attention in the morning and then a different 70 people are paying attention at night, right, because you've got global followers.
Absolutely.
So that's another thing about tweet at all times of the day, because you're going to be introduced to different people.
And they might be in a different mindset too. You know, some people are looking for distractions from work.
Yep.
Other people are just looking for, you know, more work-related stuff or whatever. But
well, and I think that's one of the things that you master, James, is providing people what they're looking for when they go online. Because we have to think about that we're not going on Twitter because we want to know, you just posted a blog, or check out my product, it's really cool, or check out my website. I can't tell you how many DMs I get like that. And when I get them, it's an immediate rapport killer, and I just want to unfollow them. And I do, especially if I don't really know them personally. I'm like, unfollow. This person is just using me, right? They just want me to click on their site. And maybe if they just want clicks, maybe they just want traffic, maybe they just want to sell me something. But there's no rapport. There's no relationship there. Whereas what James, you do is you provide them funny videos. You provide them humor. You provide them, even if it's a video on an invitation, it's something that they get to sit back, watch, and chill their brain for a couple minutes. So video is a huge thing that if you're not utilizing it yet, use it. And the tip you want to write down is your first video will be your worst video. So get it over with. Do it so that you can get better and better.
Yeah, that's so true.
Even James had a worst video at one point.
I did. It wasn't bad. It was incredible. They've just been exponentially more incredible.
Of course. Of course.
Well, I know everyone, the majority of the people on the call, I mean, you know, because I use Twitter a lot. So, you know, most people that found this call and have found me are using Twitter already. So I don't really think we need to cover any, like, real basic stuff, like make sure to, you know, have a profile picture. But even, like, before the call, you were talking about, like, the importance of what your profile picture should look like instead of it just being that, like, default ugly brown image that Twitter gives you. But what are some more advanced Twitter strategies, especially for, you know, just people's business, driving traffic or, you know, getting their name out there more?
So you want advanced strategies for free, do you?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, here's a really good one.
Okay.
It's anyone know. So anyone, like anyone, A-N-Y-O-N-E, know, K-N-O-W. For instance, when I moved to California, I needed a computer networker, someone that was in my area that could network all my computers to the printer, to the server. And what I did is I typed in, anyone know a computer networker in Southern California that can hook up my home office? So if you're in a network, you know, again, whatever it is that you're going to call this, and I tweeted out several different ways to describe it. But if you're a computer technician, if you're a computer networker, there may be several different keywords that you want to track, especially because, you know, us technophobes, we don't know what to call it. So we may use a variety of different terms. So that's just going to be you and your keywords and the research that you do on your keywords, knowing the keywords to search for people that are looking for your services. Now, if you are wise enough to daily search for people looking for you and your services online, guess what? You just got yourself a client if you were paying attention to that, especially if you've got an alert going to your phone or your email or, you know, Gmail or whatever you use that tells you there is someone that is tweeting using your keywords. So anyone know a realtor in Southern California? Anyone know a consultant? Anyone know a mortgage rep? You know, whatever it is that you do, search for that and do the phrase. What we wrote in one of our first books is that short keywords equals people that are just kind of hunting and checking things out. But long keywords or keyword phrases equal buyers. These are your prospects. So the more specific it is, you know, it could be car dealer. You know, anyone know anyone who has an M3 convertible in Southern California? I'm looking to buy one. Shoot, if you have something for sale or if you sell cars and you can connect that person. So this is one of the beautiful things about Twitter and why it's a revolution of marketing and why it's a social media revolution, because now all the conversations that are happening out there, if they're happening on Twitter and if they're happening online, they're searchable. And you can match up with people who need your services, need, want, or desire at their point of need, right? We talked earlier about, you know, Tylenol when you have an aspirin. Hey, if someone's tweeting about their point of pain, and I'm going to use that as a metaphor, right? Because in business, if you can solve their pain and they're tweeting about their pain, you can then meet them at the point of need and provide services for them. You can still hear me, right, James?
Yes, I can.
Okay, because I'm hearing a beep, and I didn't know if my battery died.
Oh,
so,
we're good.
So that's the first tip is, you know, write in the keywords. But now here's the other really advanced tip that nobody else is doing, and it's doing a search for emotions. So look for, and you should have a list of the pain that your product, your services provide and solve. You should have a list of all the pain words that people use to describe their frustrations. So say they're a PC user and their system crashed and you sell Macs. Shoot, right there. You know, I track anyone who has difficulty with WordPress because I'm like, okay, what are you using WordPress for? Of course you're in pain. Of course you're struggling. Of course your plugin doesn't work. Of course the comment feature, you know, because that's the nature of it. So with the software system that I have, I track sources of pain with any type of blogging software that people are using. So if you're tracking the source of pain via emotion words, you're going to track things that your competitor, even if they're tracking their own keywords or their industry, I guarantee you they are not tracking the emotion that people are experiencing, because people don't always know how to put it in words of what they're looking for, but they do know how to bitch and moan, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can track the bitching and moaning and then come in and swoop in like a superhero and go, da-da-da-da, I have the solution. And, of course, you do it in a very, you know, suave way. Oh, hey, I have that. I noticed you were having a problem with your network, or I noticed you were looking for X, Y, or Z. How can I help? Right there, you're saying, how can I? I mean, that's, they're asking for you. What more could you want other than your clients being delivered to you on a silver platter? And that's how I've been looking at Twitter, and that's why I got excited about it, wrote the book on it, because I'm, you know, it's so much more than just a place where people are chatting. It's so much more than that, if you've got the right strategy and the right system to back that up, and then capture them and develop that relationship with them so that you can provide services for them.
So what are you using to automate that, the tracking? Because, I mean, that sounds great, but right now I would just be like, okay, do I just search in the Twitter search box or?
Well, and that, well, that's another tip too, right? We talked about that a couple of days ago. Search.twitter, and I was in a call the other day and they never heard of this. So if they haven't read the book or gone to Twitter Handbook or anything like that, then they may not have heard of this. But I assume everyone's heard of it by now. But let's make sure we share that, because if you go to search.twitter.com, number one, you track your own name so that you can see if you've missed any tweets where people are talking about you or your services, right, or your products. Make sure you're tracking those three things using search.twitter, because that is going to allow you to have conversations with your current clients and really make sure you're taking care of them, because social media has now become the place where customer service is provided, right? And it's just like the expression. I think there's a book. I just saw it at Dr. Mike Rooming's office, and I don't remember the specific name, but it had two little chat boxes. It was a red and white cover. And it was, if people are happy, they tell three people. If they're not happy, they tell 3,000. Well, that's very easy to do on Twitter, you know? So you definitely want to track your name, your brand, your products and services using search.twitter. Google Alerts is also something that you should be utilizing so that anywhere on the internet you can be searching for, again, your name, your product, and your services, and anything you want to track so that you get an email alert anytime those things are mentioned. So the beautiful thing about that is you're right there, and you can have your assistant do this for you. You don't have to do it yourself. With our software, we've got alerts when people are commenting or trackbacks, and people are like, wow, you read my blog? And, you know, you're like, because you go back in their comment, oh, hey, thanks for mentioning Twitter Handbook or Twitter Revolution or, you know, whatever it is that they mention. And they're like, wow, they pay attention to my blog. I can't believe that. And that reinforces them to really keep focusing on you and paying attention to you. Meanwhile, you've got software that is alerting you for that. So that's why I love software and systems that automate things for you, because if it can make your life easier, if it can take time off your shoulders, and that's something you can easily delegate to your virtual assistant. You know, they should easily be able to do that, and they should be tracking it. The companies that are not paying attention to what's called reputation management, which is basically what we're talking about here, managing your reputation online, the companies that are not paying attention to this are the ones that will be suffering, the ones that will be complaining about the economy. The ones that are paying attention to their reputation, managing their online presence and making sure it's out there all over the place, those are the people, like Inez in Florida, who 75% of her business is attributed to social media and new media. So I look at that and I say, the realtors that are complaining about the economy, I go, well, how much are you using new media? Because if you're losing out on 75% of your business, well, of course you're complaining about the economy, because you're literally dealing with only 25% of what your business could be. So those are the things that just give me that knot at the, you know, pit of my stomach, and I go, I got to get the word out for people to know about this, because there's a better way. You know, people could be, they don't have to be suffering. They don't have to be complaining about X, Y, or Z. They could be thriving if they're using the right tools, if they're using the right strategies, instead of you know, same old, or old school strategies that are old school, that they don't work as effectively as they used to. They still are going to work a little bit, and that's the danger of psychological positive reinforcement, because it's like, well, I get results over here. Yeah, you get 10 or 30% results. What if you do something just a little differently and get 75% more and better and more clients? What could you do with that extra surplus?
And it goes back to what you were talking about earlier about, you know, being the first to market or first to a new trend, and that, like, you know, if there are only a few realtors on Twitter that are really using it properly, they're going to stand out and be able to capture, you know. But, like, you know, you have something like an industry like internet marketers who are all on Twitter, and it's like nothing new, and you really have to differentiate. So it becomes for someone in a different industry to be like, hurry up, be the first one on there before your competition does.
Exactly.
And blows you out of the water.
Completely. And, you know, honestly, with internet marketing, it's easy to differentiate yourself. Because most internet marketers that caught on to the Twitter bandwagon after the fact, like, oh, you know, we really maybe should pay attention. Deb's not just some crazy girl in Hawaii tweeting away. You know, cause when I was all excited about Twitter, they're like, what's this Twitter stuff you're talking about? And then I would get these, their first comment to me would be, okay, I finally signed up, but I can't see ever using this other than maybe when I'm traveling. Or someone else is like, yeah, this is kind of whatever, but I don't really get it. And then once they started seeing, oh, well, they could pull in their RSS feed for their blog, or, oh, they could start, you know, broadcasting it, they typically are using it, I would say 90% of them or more are using it as a broadcast tool to just get their message out. I would say 90% of their tweets are promotional versus educational or helpful or entertaining, like yours are. Yours are probably 90% entertainment, maybe 70% entertainment, you know, another 10% or 20% conversation, and then there's that, you know, say 10 to 20% promotion. But even when you're doing promotions, you're providing that entertainment. So I like to think about three E's: make it entertaining, engaging, or emotional. And if you trigger one of those three E's in your tweets, you're going to get people paying attention. You know, I like to think of it as get their heart beating, whether it's, you know, humor and laughter through entertainment, whether it's engagement and them connecting with you as an individual, or, again, emotional, where you're touching their heart. That's when you'll be remembered, and that's how you'll differentiate yourself. So even if the people that are in your industry are on, you know, watch their tweets, see what they're doing, and make sure you don't just model after even some of the big guys out there, because the big guys will succeed in spite of their efforts, because it's essentially their list anyway, right? If you're going on to meet new people and you're a new guy or a newbie, right, then you need a very different strategy than one of the gurus that are out there that have already established their reputation.
Right. They just emailed their list and said, come follow me on Twitter.
Right. And that's the beauty of having a list that knows you, loves you, and trusts you, because they're your clients, right? They bought one of your products and they go, oh my gosh, boy, does she deliver. She over-delivers. I love it. So then you can almost do no wrong if you've got fans, because those fans love you no matter what you do. And they want your promos because they want to know what you're doing, because they know what you're doing is good. It's going to help their business. So they're paying attention, right? You can be as promotional as you want if it's just an account to tweet to your fans, right, that have already bought from you. It's when you meet new people that haven't bought from you, that's when you have to prove yourself. Right, it's just like relationships, right? You can get away with a lot more when you know a person and they're your friend, right, or your sibling, right? You can get away with a lot with their sibling that you could never get away with talking to that person if they were a stranger off the street. You know, they'd slap you, look at you funny, or be like, get away from me, right? You know, we can get away with different things with our family that we can't with strangers. So it's the same analogy, if you think about that, when you're meeting new people on Twitter. You've got to attract them in order to convert them.
Right. I like it. What other Twitter tips and tactics you got for me?
That's it. I'm done.
No,
closing
more.
Up shop. Now I got a tweet.
Oh, come on. Don't do this for me.
I think the one biggest thing that people do wrong is send them to a page that is incongruent to Twitter. Twitter is a social media place. It's where the conversation takes place. If you send them over to where the conversation stops, and they've, again, just met you, if you're trying to attract them and by charming them, if people have heard me before or read my book, I talk about the charm format, you know, captivate their attention, hook emotions, right? And you're going through a process with new people. And rapport is broken when you just send them somewhere where they have to sign up. That goes against everything that social media stands for. So while you may get, again, people that have been in a relationship and tweeting with you, and they go, oh, all right, well, I noticed Coach Deb's there. I know her. Or, hey, you know, I know James, and he's providing me a service. I want to sign up for this. You're going to get people to sign up for that. However, in an everyday, on a daily basis, if you're just tweeting something and you send them over to a blog and they have to sign up before they can see your blog or anything else, you may get some people because they're curious, but you're going to lose out on the relationship building process if there's no way that they can check out what you're talking about before they sign up. So make sure whatever you send them to is congruent with the channel that you're at. So if it's Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is, again, Twitter's a conversation tool. So if you send them over to your blog and there's a way for them to comment, right? I've seen blogs where they have commenting off is the worst thing you can do because, again, they want to put their two cents in. I know someone who forces a survey every 6 times that their client goes to their site, or 7 times. It's just this random number. And they force a survey of, why do you use this product? What attracted to you? What's your best feature? And they get a survey. And it's amazing. Now, you could say, X, I don't want to fill it out. But it's amazing how many people fill it out. They don't have to. They're not getting anything. There's no contest for filling out the survey. But people want to share their 2 cents. People want to see their name in lights. They want their 15 minutes of fame. Blogging and commenting on people's blogs helps them do that. So help them help you, right? Help them facilitate the conversation and be in a relationship with you. So make sure you're sending them to a site where you can, yes, capture their name and information, but also simultaneously comment and continue the relationship and check you out. Let them check out your videos. Make it as easy as possible. Otherwise, you will lose people, and you won't know it because they may not complain about it or say anything. They will just leave and go on to the next place.
Right. Boy, I need to change that. My website on my profile just goes to a squeeze page.
One of those not massage squeeze pages where it's kind of a soft, it's just sign up or die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And that's what the internet marketers taught us. And again, there is a time and a place for that, right? That it'll work, but if you're talking about Twitter and you're talking about meeting new people, think about it, you know, put yourself in the person's shoes. You meet someone, you're online, and you meet with someone, they strike up a conversation, and then they're like, what's your home address? Are you going to give that to them? So
right.
Their email is either they're A, giving you a Yahoo address, you know, for the Yahoo that you are for asking for it. So either they're giving you a phony email address or they're not giving it at all because they protect it, right? They're coveting it because they know they've been spammed before. You know, it's not like internet marketing in the 90s is very different than now because internet marketing in the 90s, it wasn't done, right? So people are like, oh, okay, here you go. And then all of a sudden we learned, right? We got smarter. So then now people are much more cautious. So we all have these throwaway email accounts. And I know people who have literally hundreds of thousands of people on their list. They did a promo to their list. And I know, again, it was a product that was very inexpensive and was definitely in their market. And he did a JV with a friend of mine and got like 2 sales. And then 1 person returned. Just because they're like, I'm really not interested anyway. So, you know, you don't have that many people on a list and not get at least 1% conversion if they're not just giving you throwaway accounts that they're not paying attention to. So we're seeing the stats of people that even are the gurus, and they're noticing that the market has changed. That's why they're doing more video. That's why they're doing more entertaining, and that's why they're blogging more, because they know if they don't establish that relationship, then when they do send them to a hard landing page – to get XYZ or get access to it, they're not going to get the conversion. So treat them right in the beginning and develop that relationship. Just like if you're meeting people in a cashier and you're checking out, no one's going to give you their home address, but they might give you their Twitter handle, or they might give you something else other than a more intimate exchange of information that you could stalk them and show up at their house, just like we get email that's unwanted and spam. And we're seeing that more and more now. So that's why people are cautious and people react in kind. So that's why we talk about send them to a soft landing page where, yes, they can sign up, but if they don't want to, there are ways for them to still check you out. Check out your journal, your blog, and so forth.
That's good. I like it. Moving on, let's talk a little bit about that. You showed me a really cool trick with hashtags recently that I want you to share.
What did I share?
The trends on with hashtags.
Yes. Yeah, this is huge because for people who don't have a lot of followers right away and they want more followers, especially in their industry, follow the trending topics that are happening right now. So it either go to your profile on Twitter or you can go to search.twitter.com. And I actually have on my iPhone several different people that I'm following, and I have the search.twitter for their name, and it's right there as a little icon so I can click. So, for instance, I go to search.twitter.com on my iPhone. You could do this on your desktop, wherever. And then say I put in the box James Wedmore, all one word, just like his username. And then anytime he's tweeting or people are tweeting with him and the things that he's talking about, so I don't want to miss another interview that he does, so I want to make sure I'm tracking that. So daily I'll click on that right on the iPhone. It goes right to the page where anyone talking about James, to James, or James talking, it will all be there. So I do that for my software as well. I do that for my name. I do that for other influencers' names. And that's how I'm able to stay on top of the trends, what's hot, what's happening tomorrow, as opposed to what's happening yesterday, right? Because I'm following these influential people and the influential search terms. So for this case, if you go to search.twitter.com, say you don't enter anything in that box, right below it you'll see the top 10 trending topics. Some of these may or may not have the hashtag mark. More and more do, because this is, again, getting your tweets out there all over beyond Twitter. And let me explain. Hashtag is the pound sign, just like on your phone, that little pound sign. If you use that directly in front of a word or an abbreviation that you use, it will not only be tracked on search.twitter, it's also on several different tracking sites out there that are tracking hashtags specifically. And if you ever go to a conference and you want to meet other people within that conference, well, every conference that's savvy will have a hashtag that they're using. So then you can meet people in the room, in the conference. And when you go to places where there's 300, 3,000 people, that is one of the best ways to find like-minded people that are talking about the same things that you are. You follow that hashtag. So in this case with James, I had noticed on the one of the search terms, it was a trending topic in his industry. And I'm like, dude, I haven't seen any of your participation in this, and it's number one, you know, and it's been all day. And then one time it was all week, and I'm like, you have to just jump in there, right? And he did. And then what did you say? You were tracking it, and you saw a spike?
Like just huge spikes in traffic back to my site. But, like, I'm looking at this right now, and I just picked one of these random trending topics, and, you know, since we just started talking about this, and it's over, like, I just clicked on it, and it'll tell you, like, in real time, like, mm-hmm. how many people have been using this trending topic in their tweet, and it's had over 150 tweets just in the last, like, 3 minutes.
Right.
So there's, like, huge amount of people talking about this and seeing this
yep.
and clicking on that. And so what I did when you showed me that, I just started doing my normal tweets but had the hashtag in there, and then just checked, my followers just jumped up, and then was checking my website statistics, and, you know, there was just this, like, random, like, huge spike in the day. I was like, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was when that, you know, that whole trending topic was on the top 10. So
yeah. So that's really powerful for people to use because, and you're attracting people in the area that you want, you know, whether it's a topic of interest, because sometimes it's just maybe something political that's happening, has nothing to do with your industry, but you're connecting with like-minded. Well, if you know anything about sales, anything about marketing, people like doing business with what?
People they like, know, and trust.
Exactly. So it's like, hey, you believe like me. You have the same politics as me. I like this person, right? And then they want to do business. They want to share business because they're in my tribe, right? So that's just a nature of human beings. I mean, people will, like with the political election in America, it was unbelievable and unreal how heated people got, and yet not so unbelievable because, again, it's human nature, right? It's people will judge people that are not like them, and they would unfollow people if they saw someone that had tweets that were not along their political party. So, you know, this is politics, religion, you know, whatever it is, people are really passionate about certain topics, and they'll either follow or unfollow. And you can't be afraid to – this is more of an advanced influence and persuasion strategy here, but you can't be afraid to be who you are and offend some people. There'll be people who won't like you just because your eyes are brown, just because your eyes are blue, just because you have a nose. You know, they just will decide that I just don't like that person because
there's no logic behind that. Yeah.
Yes, none. You know, it's irrational, but it's something within them that will connect with people that they feel they can trust because they're like them. And part of that is just psychology and human nature, that it's a survival thing that we think if you're like us, we can trust you because, well, we know what we can predict from ourselves, and we think we can predict the same type of behavior. Again, completely irrational, but again, it's just part of human nature that that's what we do. So if you're offending some people because of your tweet, because you're describing whatever your beliefs are, your values, don't worry about it, because at the same time, you are attracting like a magnet someone to you that will be your friend for life, that will be your fan for life, your follower for life. There are some people that in the very beginning of Twitter, you know, and they didn't have necessarily a lot of followers. I just, you know, we connected or I liked them. You could see they were just a giver. And there's a woman to this day who will retweet for me. You know, I don't even ask. I'm like, wow, that was nice. She retweeted. And it's a consistent thing. That's a true friend, right? That's a true quote-unquote follower is what we call it on Twitter. But it goes beyond follower, right? That's someone who knows you, likes you, trusts you, and says, that person, you know what, we could be buddies if we were neighbors, right? And we're not going to be neighbors and buddies with everyone because it's a global thing, right? We have people from all over the world following us. But it's that connection that brings us together around common interests, common beliefs, common values, that when someone who doesn't believe like you unfollows you, at the same time, 10 more people are not only following you, but finding ways they can help you and do business with you.
Right. Reminds me of the Bill Cosby quote I love so much. I'm going to botch it because I don't know it word for word, but it's like, I may not know the key to success, but the key to failure is trying to please everybody.
Yes, and so you didn't botch it. Look at
that. That was good enough.
Now that's so retweetable. I want to see that on Twitter so we can retweet it. And that's something that it's amazing. That's the best thing to tweet out is a quote of something that you do believe, or something that, you know, just captures the essence of what you believe, or something that inspires you, because if it inspires you, it inspires someone else. But that's a beautiful quote, James, because it's so true. You know, and it's that, you know, when we try to please everyone, we just will fail every time. If you know anything about personalities, anything about the DISC profile, people know there's a wheel of life, and there's always going to be a percentage of people that are opposite of you, and they just won't like you again because you have a nose. You know, it's just that silly and irrational. But you know the same thing. Like, you meet some people and you just don't click with them. Or they talk too fast, talk too slow, walk too slow, whatever it is, it's that rapport and the mannerisms, and that's how we judge people. And that's
right.
Why before this call even started, we were talking about the body language that your pictures will display. So
yeah.
TwitPic, if you're not using TwitPic, that's a great way to continue the relationship and get them to know, love, and trust you more, because there's first you have your headshot, for your Twitter profile, but the more you twit pick things that are happening right here, right now, just like we were talking about with the trending topics, the reason why that's so hot is because it's like when you're at a party and you know how you see buzz going on, or you're right in the middle of buzz where there's more volume, more laughter, and more excitement in one area of the room, everyone is just attracted to that circle and they want to be a part of that because that's where the activity and energy is highest. It's the same thing with the trending topics. If you can find out where the conversation is happening at the party, the coolest thing about Twitter is where it may be hard to do in person to infiltrate that circle, you can do it easily, instantly, and practically, you know, seamlessly because you're not walking in the middle of anyone. You're not interrupting anyone. You are just contributing to the conversation. And that's the beauty of Twitter. For introverts, introverts love Twitter. Like people are like, oh, I wonder if more extroverts do better at Twitter because, you know, it's a conversation thing. And I have a lot of clients that are like, no, this is great for me because I can think about what I have to say. At parties, I always miss the opportunity to say something. And then they're on to another subject. By the time I'm ready to interject, they're talking about something else. That doesn't happen on Twitter. You get to interject at any moment. There's never a wrong moment to interject, right? So that's the beauty. It doesn't matter what your personality type is. You can find a way to engage in the conversation as long as you're paying attention.
Awesome. Now, I'm going to switch gears a little bit because you've been talking about a buzzword of mine that is like music to my ears, and that's the word system.
Mm-hmm.
And that using, you know, social media and Twitter and put it into a system. I was actually reading through E. Myth Mastery today, and he's talking about, you know, how a true entrepreneur is passionate about creating.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we create and invent, but when it comes down to, like, the actual doing of the task, like the working, it can just be, like, draining on us. And for some people, I could see, you know, asking that question, like, how much time are we spending on Twitter? You know, how much work do we have to put into social media and stuff like that? Can you talk a little bit about how we systematize Twitter?
Absolutely.
And
yeah, I mean, and that's where that's honestly why we created the software we did, because I didn't want to get bogged down on the doing. And I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I'm not a do-it-yourselfer. So, and that's, again, because of Michael Gerber and the book. And, I mean, if you haven't read that book, I highly recommend it. It will radically change your mindset and put you in a more profitable mindset that you'll make more money guaranteed if you're following what he's talking about adopting the true entrepreneurial mindset versus the technician. The technician
right.
is the do-it-yourselfer. That person will never surpass the daily hourly rate. An entrepreneur will make money while they sleep, will make money when they're not working, will make money over here while they're working here, but they're making money over there because there are systems that are in place doing work for them. Anytime you can execute that, whether it's people, manpower, womanpower, or it's VA robot power, that, again, good robots versus bad robots, that you want to do that because that's how you'll make more money by cloning yourself and cloning your activities by making sure that there's a system in place. And when we were speaking around the world, we went to one tour with Australia. It was Sydney, Perth, Brisbane, or up in Noosa for a while. It was a three-week tour, and in the midst of that, we were still running a live coaching program on blogging. This is when, you know, blogging was, you know, no one heard about that. They thought it was a cute word, and they were learning just specifically about blogging. And we came back, and they're like, well, how often do you do X, Y, and Z? Maybe it was bookmarking. And honestly, we had to say, well, we haven't had the time because we've been speaking and traveling. And that was when we were motivated to say, let's sit down and figure out what could be automated. And we just started automating a lot of things on our blog. Then we turned it into software that was just shelfware. People bought it, they installed it, and they used it. But then what we found is every month we were updating the software and changing it. So eventually what we did is we created BlogEye360 software, and that was a hosted solution that went far beyond blogging. It started now when I blog, so here are some of the systems that are being done for me. That's why when people are like, oh, my gosh, you're everywhere. How can you be speaking and also doing all the tweeting and blogging and your social bookmarking, you're doing all these things? It's because I have a system behind me. It's because, you know, I've got a secret weapon, right? So every time I blog, all I need to do is put up the post, literally type up just like I'm in a Word document. I literally hit the publish button. I walk away from my computer. I let the computer do 40 hours worth of work for me. It automatically goes to the social bookmarks of choice and bookmarks my blog for me, my blog post for me. So I don't have to do that. So all these things are being automated for me. If I put a video up there, I, again, hit publish, I walk away, it automatically is sending my video out there all over the net. It's sending my blog post all over to RSS directories, feeds. So I literally don't have to do that any longer. And that was literally taking up a full-time job. We either had to hire someone, you know, full-time to do all these things for us, or it was taking away from my coaching, you know, for other clients, or product creation, and that's where I made my money, right, is leveraging my time with product creation. Well, I can't create a product if I'm just blogging all the time, you know, and we find this with professionals, you know, attorneys, chiropractors, doctors. They're like, we want to practice. We don't want to have to go blog every day. So the system was originally created for real businesses that said, yes, we want to be an entrepreneur. We don't want to be doing all this marketing, you know, for ourselves. They didn't want to tinker with their site and create things and update them. So the other thing is it's doing search engine optimization for us. When I tweet about something, I will dominate my keywords over someone that just has a normal website based on old school website programming, because we've set it up and met with a Google insider to make sure it was Google friendly, to be found by Google very quickly after we either create a site, create a page, or create a post, because the coding, it's the best way I can describe it in like non-techie words, the coding and the language behind it is very clean, and it's something that is very friendly and palatable for the spiders. The spiders just think it's juicy, and they gobble it up like it's cotton candy. You know, it's snack food for them. So that's why the coding behind it, whether it's a landing page we create, whether it's a sales page we create, a one-time offer, or a blog post, the search engine spiders come there. So that's where I'll dominate it. I mean, even in Hawaii, we worked with 4 of the 5 top companies, and again, I never placed an ad. It was because, and I stopped doing in-person networking even in Hawaii once we started using the system. Literally for the past 3 years before I moved, which is, you know, 3 weeks ago, I didn't do any type of in-person networking, any type of advertising. We worked with these companies because they did a search and we were found and we were hired on as their consultants. And that's what you want to do if you're in your industry. You want to dominate in your keywords. You want to make sure that when you're doing all of this in social networking, you're doing it with a system and a strategy behind you. And when people are doing a search for what you can help them with, you will be top. You'll be number one. Like, we had a client who was on a call with hundreds of people when The Secret came out, right? And there's all these people competing for the same set of keywords. Within 3 hours of her setting it up on the Blog at 360 software, she was indexed by Google and ranked number one above thesecret.tv. This is the same, you know, thesecret.tv got on Oprah, Larry King. They've been all over. They've had all these affiliate people behind them. She dominated because their site is on old technology, right? And they have to have all the traffic behind them to give them a ranking. Her, she just had one page, but then she had the search engine optimization behind it. That's why she's number one, and she remains number one 2 years later to this day, still number one above The Secret. So, again, those are little systems and strategies that when you can have a tool behind you, it's doing the work for you. It's giving you the edge. It's giving you the advantage, and you're there first, just like we talked about earlier, right? If you could be first before your competitors, before other people in your industry, well, that's going to give you the edge, and you're going to dominate that long after.
I love it. And I just got it. I just got Blog at 360. I haven't finished setting it up, but I will shortly.
You got to stop creating your cool videos.
I know. I got to create more systems in my business. So people who are listening in on the webcast, if you're online, there's that big button at the bottom that says, what is Blog i360? that is where you can go to learn more about Coach Deb's awesome software, which I just purchased myself, and I'm just starting to use it. And it is, it's like your WordPress and website and everything else on steroids. So,
it's combining someone's web presence and their blog and all of your sales pages. So it's funny because I was just at an in-person mastermind, and they were like, well, I've got this product, and I've got to create these landing pages, and I've got to create these mini sites and this and this. And I'm going, you know, I'm just biting my tongue because I'm a new person there, and I don't want to say anything. You know, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, you could do this so much easier. And he's like, I got to hire a VA, and then it's going to cost all this money and da-da-da. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, I'm like just jumping out of my skin to go, you don't have to do that anymore. That's old school, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's unlimited landing pages that you create so that, you know, again, you still can do those things and those, that technology as long as you're developing the relationship like we talked about earlier with those new people.
Awesome. Awesome. So, you know, another question I had for you, it really important, is, I mean, what I've always noticed about you, Deb, is you, I mean, you've already talked about it, you can just hear it from listening to you, is that you're able to identify emerging trends, especially in social media. What do you kind of see as some, you know, I don't believe, or unless you think Twitter's going to be here forever, but what do you think the internet has in store for us for the next couple of years?
You just keep trying to get all this good information from
me. I'm trying.
Okay, I'll take my $10,000 check later, James, and you can just, you know, then you can disseminate the call. All right, well, here's, I'm going to tell you what I don't often say on calls. Like, often I'll tell people when I'm speaking, I'm like, retweet me, go ahead and put the hashtag and da-da-da on these tips. I'm going to ask your listeners if they could not tweet this.
Okay.
All right? So I'm going to share what's going to be something that you need to pay attention, and if you're doing this first and you're paying attention to this, again, this is where you'll be one of the early adopters versus the laggards. Right, and doing it after. And it's mobile marketing. It's tying right into the Twitter revolution here that we're seeing. The reason why Twitter is so hot and it's growing so fast and it's so popular and people love it, it's because people can travel with it. They can walk with it. They do not have to be attached to their computer, right? It's wireless. So it's the wireless generation. It's the wireless technology that is going to be the next hottest trend. Anything that you can do to market mobile, using mobile marketing, and 50%, the stats tell us 50% of people that create a website, it is not mobile friendly. So these people are losing money if you don't have a site that's mobile friendly. So that's one of the things that you want to pay attention to and make sure that you're thinking about that and you're thinking about capturing people and being very relationship oriented when you can get their cell phone addresses. So now find ways, contests, things that you can give that are valuable that will only go to their cell phone. And now start collecting that piece of information. You know, you can make it optional. You don't have to make it mandatory. But now when they come and they sign up for one of these teleclasses, we'll collect their cell phone and say, hey, you know, we know email is not always the best, right, in getting information. Right? I saw a tweet right before I was going on this call, and they're like, oh, I didn't get the number for the call. I'm bummed. And I was able to go and see your last tweet, and it had the number, so I was able to tweet that. But say that person didn't, or we didn't have that information, they would have missed out on that call. And I guarantee you there's other people, right? So you basically put this in your name capture, but now instead of just capturing name and email, what's more valuable than an email to capture is their mobile phone. Think about it. People tend to not have more than one or two mobile phones. Like, I do travel with two. Most people travel with one. So it's not like they can give you a phony cell phone address. If they're giving you a legitimate number and they're saying, yeah, here you go, unless, again, they just put XXX or whatever if you require it. But if they're literally giving you their cell phone, it's not like it's going to a spam cell phone account. People don't pay $100 just for a spam cell phone account. They pay for a cell number. So if you can treat this respectfully, with the utmost respect, and then only send them information that they want, that they've requested, like information for this call. You know, you could have went in there and gone, hey, call with Coach Deb's about to start, 15 minutes, here's the number, here's access. See you on the call.
Right.
Very quick, boom, it goes to their cell phone. So if they're traveling, if they're in their car, if they're commuting from work, they get that access. And now you have provided them a valuable service. And then when you do have something that is a huge product launch, well, they don't mind this once-in-a-while promotion because you are using their number the right way and providing them valuable stuff. The other thing that I would use it for is contest. You know, here you go, this message, whoever comes in our store now gets 30% off, 50% off, you know, whether you have a clothing store, whether it's online, offline, you know, whatever it is that you can create a promotion that people go, thank you for sending this to my cell phone.
Right.
If you have a restaurant, you know, free drinks for anyone who comes in within the next hour, you know, and you can monitor traffic reports. And if you're off some highway that there's some accident, you can go, hey, accident on such and such highway. If you're commuting back from work, you know what? Stop in here. We'll get you a free drink or free appetizers. You know, don't get stuck in traffic. Boom. And now, again, you're providing them with information because you're telling them if you get on this highway, you're going to be stuck in traffic. Come on in for a free app. And you know what? No one's coming in just for a free app, are they? They're getting drinks.
Right.
They'll probably get food because they're hungry, and they might as well make a night of it. And does anyone come in by themselves? No, they tweet about it and go, hey, I'm going to be at such and such. Why don't you meet me there? Automatically, you've created a spontaneous tweet up with a bunch of friends. Now you're all hanging. Misery loves company. Boom. Business makes money. You're happy. You didn't get stuck in traffic. And you're fed. You're happy. Right? You're going to think about that company who helped you out the next time you go out. You go, you know, let's go to Sammy's Woodfire Pizza because they were so nice. They told me about the traffic accident. And I had a great time that one time. Instead of misery, stuck in traffic, stuck
right.
because you don't know any better. You didn't get the information. So provide people with good information that they value, and they will love you, trust you, buy from you again and again and again.
And it's like real-time marketing. You know, you couldn't send an email out to someone saying, like, hey, next 30 minutes we're giving away free drinks or something.
Right.
Because, you know, not the majority of everybody, like myself, checks their email
exactly.
every 30 minutes.
Exactly.
As opposed to your mobile phone. I love it. There you guys go. You heard it here first from Coach Deb. That's the future of marketing and online trends. I love it.
And that's a secret for just your tribe. We don't even want them tweeting about that.
Yeah, because we want to be the first ones.
That's right, to do it. You know, you could tweet at us, you know, hey, we like the secret tip, and then send them to James's page so they can re-listen to it. Hey, they can do that, but they have to be there for the full call to, you know, to listen to that. And, again, that's something for you guys to do. You know, give the best stuff. Right. I remember being in English class, and they're like, you start and you build up and you give them the best analogy or the best part of the strategy or story in the last paragraph. And that's what you guys want to think about doing, is reward people who do what you want them to do, whatever that is, and then reward them. Do that over and over again. People will then be conditioned, and you'll be training them on what behavior you're looking for. Like Scott Tuzanot, he's Fat Loss Quickie on Twitter. Every time now, he sent out a one-time offer to his list. His sales increased, but only by like 15, 20%. Still good. But the next time he did the same type of one-time offer, he's like, here's a one-time offer. It'll never be repeated. 50% increase in sales because they knew he was serious. They knew that tomorrow at 11:59 or at midnight, it was not going to just be there again, right, with the same clock of, oh, 24 hours. They knew he meant what he said, and he said what he meant, and it was really a one-time offer. So the sales increased the next time because they knew and believed, and he's literally trained them now how to buy and how to respond, and when to respond, and when to get the best deal. So anybody who's looking for a deal and they're looking for a sale, well, it's the same thing like we, any woman who gets, whether it's cachet has been like one of the hottest places I found in the mall, that every month they give us a certain, you know, coupon and a certain sale. And if we go in at a certain day, at a certain time, and if we're on their list as their frequent shoppers, we're the only ones who get that notice. So now we're treated like VIPs. We know something everyone else doesn't, and then we're getting treated special. We get a sale. So now we get the same $100 shirt, but we get it for $50. Well, yay, they've honored us by being a frequent shopper. It's the same thing with your list. If you're signing them up for your newsletter, it's the same type of thing. Honor them, treat them like the VIPs that they are, and they'll keep coming back and slurping up the content that you provide them.
Awesome. Love it. So we've gone a little over, which is great, given a little extra bonus content. We do have a few questions. If you're still if you're in the webcast, I highly recommend throwing in some last-minute questions. I'm going to go over some of these real quick before I let Coach Deb. I'm going to try and keep her on as long as possible. So we have Lindsay who asked a question. Where was it? Let's see. She says, I'm a coach for a site called Beachbody, and you make money by getting coaches and people buying products off of your site. Mm-hmm. I'm having a hard time getting people to join or buy. Are there any marketing tips that you know of to promote that type of organization?
Show off your beach body.
I'll buy.
Yeah, I mean, I love their product. I was actually just talking about that with Judy Finner, and she, and number one, she's also saying that I do a reoccurring product purchase because I love their recovery drink. And she's like, how much you spend? I'm like spending $70 to $100 each month on recurring shipments. In other words, every month is the same vitamin, protein drink, and recovery drink. And she's like, you should be a coach for them. And so here she was. I can now sign up under her, right, like I'm assuming you, people can do under you. And what was this person's name, the Beachbody girl?
It's Lindsay Dry is her Twitter name.
Twitter hand, okay. So they can, you know, teach people how they can sign up under you to get these products, just like Judy taught me. And then also, hey, if they're buying more than X amount, you sign up as the coach and you wind up saving money. So teach people how they can save money, but then you're also making money yourself because, you know, again, you're helping them help you and vice versa, right? So help them help you by showing them how they can save money, but also sign up under you so you're getting that reoccurring commission. I would do videos. I would do pictures. I would do before and after of yourself. You know, like different professions obviously call for different things. Like it would be a very, very, very rare tweet for me to tweet a bikini picture. But if I'm promoting Beachbody, then you want to do a before and after, right? So depending on what profession you're in, obviously, is going to depend on the type of pictures. But I would get people that have used the product, people maybe that you're coaching, if you can get people in person, you know, get testimonials, put that on your hub site. You know, send them over to your blog / website / hub site and get them to read all about Beachbody. Because if you're just tweeting about it here and there and never giving them more videos, testimonials, motivation, I'd be giving them daily motivation. Every morning, here's what you want to do to get your Beachbody. And always use Beachbody because, again, that's a keyword. And now people doing a search for Beachbody online are going to find your tweets. Right. I did this once. I was watching an informational show, not an infomercial, but it was just an informational show, like kind of like a Discovery Channel. And they were talking about this mall, and actually it was in relation to mobile marketing and how they're getting ads out to literally drive traffic to the store based on Bluetooth technology. So they walk in the store, boom, automatically they get a message to their cell phone saying, hey, sale going on at Best Buy.
No way.
Right? So it literally, because they have all this analysis on what stores are not doing well right now. So based on that, they'll send out different places to literally drive foot traffic to that store. So they go, oh, all right, here you go. Within the next 20 minutes, anybody who buys a blah, blah, blah will get it for XYZ or anything in the store, 10% off. All of a sudden, there's this rush, literally, of foot traffic. It's the same thing online. Right, we can do the same type of things. Give people time-limited offers. Maybe run contests where you'll give them a private consult. Right. Oop, can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
So it, it's almost like smelling an orange, and I love just the smell of this recovery drink. You know, that's a weird thing. I understand that. It's okay, and you know, I'm a weird person, so I'm okay with that. But if you get videos of people that their favorite thing about a Beachbody product, maybe it's the pull-up bar, you know, whatever it is, that's what you highlight. You don't just say, oh, buy the pull-up bar or buy the you emphasize features that are very different. You know, do something that nobody else is doing. Like, I guarantee you nobody's talking about the smell of the, you know, recovery drink, because it's just an odd thing to even admit. But if you do something like that, people just walk into your video and they're there with you. If you've ever watched Emeril live, you know, he's got this energy. It's like, bam, you know, it's kick it up a notch, right? And you can just smell the garlic sizzling in the pan. You know, that's real sizzle marketing. Do that in your videos, and you'll increase your sales. But make sure you're sending them, again, to your hub site so they can comment on your blog. You've got bookmarks going out there. You're not just tweeting. You're exponentially using these things. Oh, and then the example I was using with the mall, number one, that's, first of all, something you can do with your tweets and with your blogs, but also I was tweeting about this show because just the tips and the ideas that I was getting from the show, I'm like, oh, this is really cool. Started using hashtags for this show because I wanted to go back the next day when I was in front of my computer, because I was just sitting there in front of the TV with my iPhone. So I used a hashtag to track it, and then I even put note to self, Google mobile marketing or malls in Japan. I don't remember what specifically it was, but I'm like, Google this tomorrow and do more research on it for the coaching club call that I had. I wanted to bring these strategies to my members. And someone responded back that next morning or that night, whenever I went to check in, they're like, oh, yeah, I did a Google, like, your note to yourself, and guess who was there? There were three tweets on the top page for that word, and they were my tweets. You know, so that's the beauty of, A, Twitter, because Google is saying they're tracking it real time. Anything happening real time or current, that's more relevant because it's a conversation by real people right now.
Right.
You know, it's just like, what is it, CrossFit that you talk about, James?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a hot trend, and you do videos on that and tweet about that, you're going to get found in the search engines for that because you're using the right systems and the right technology that Google likes. You know,
right.
It's that real time.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was great. What a great answer to the question. Okay. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. I want to give a special thanks to everyone on the call. I know Ryan McGinn was on there, and he had some nice comments saying that Deb's awesome, which she is. She is. As well as Lindsay, thank you for your questions. Alexis Neely and Lotus Amy. Victoria Vaughn, I had some other people tweeting. Thank you so much for your support. Coach Kathleen, who says that Deb is her favorite coach in the world. So thank you, everyone, for your support and in the call. And, of course, Deb, thank you so much for giving away such great content.
Hey, can I comment on something that you were just sharing with the people that are tuning in?
Heck, yeah.
Everyone, with the exception of Coach Kathleen, who I met in person first and then went to social media, everyone there that you've mentioned has been via Twitter, like the relationship has been established. And it's interesting because Victoria Vaughn met her in Hawaii playing tennis, and she's like, oh, I bought your Twitter book. And, you know, that was just like the coolest connection because, you know, again, someone's on Twitter, never realized. We had played tennis back and forth. She lives in Northern California, but she comes to Hawaii very often. And we had played tennis before, and we just were, you know, talking. And, oh, what do you do, and what type of conferences? Found out we go to the same types of conferences in the same type of industry. Found out she bought my book, again, without realizing it was me. It made me really think about, this is what Twitter is. It's tennis, right? You're engaged in a hobby. It's a similar interest, right? And yet business comes up. And it's the same thing with Twitter. You're talking about things that you have a personal interest in, and then you find that you go to their profile, you see what they're interested in, you see their bio, and then you go, oh, they're just like me because they're a blogging dad or, you know, a working mom or a whatever it is, right, that you put in your profile. And that's really important to make sure that whatever you want to connect with people on, that's what you want to put in your Twitter profile. You have very limited words. You don't even have to make it a sentence. You could put, you know, a couple phrases of who you are, what your interests are in that, so that you can connect with people who are doing searches for that, and for people who, when they check out your profile, they go, oh, that person's like me, and you find that you have a lot in common. So again, here now we're able to, now I'm in Southern California, she's in Northern California, but we're able to still connect because of Twitter, and it keeps us connected. And that's that full circle of, James, what you were talking about, it, how you'll meet someone at a conference, and then you continue the relationship. So if I can give you all an assignment or an action that you can take from this call and get results from it, it would be to write down the top 10 influencers that you know, if you connect with them and you get them to like you, trust you, and are a resource for them and help them, they'll be able to help you in your business. Write those 10 people down and engage with them on Twitter. For the next 30 days, those are the people that you focus on. Could be for the next 90 days. Could be the next year. Then I want you to think about the 100 people. Use TweetDeck. TweetDeck is a way you can put your top 10 people in one column, and then your top 100 people that you're really going to develop those relationships with. So that way, if you have 1,000 people, if you have 10,000 people, whatever number you have, that 100 list, you know, you can label it top 100 list, are the people you're going to really pay attention. These should be including your clients as well as your prospects in that. I would have a separate column for clients as well, because they get your top attention, right? I know everyone's trying to get new clients and this and that, but you want to think about your current clients and treat them better than everyone else, right? So, again, you're training people how to treat you by how you're treating them. So use TweetDeck. It's a great organizer tool on your desktop to be able to create these columns and these people of influence that you'll connect with. And that way, by the end of 30 days, by the end of 90 days, you're now using Twitter in a systematic, strategic way that you're not just BSing, right? You're not just socializing. Because socializing, unless it leads to a business contact, is not making you money, and that is ultimately not why a marketer or a business owner is on Twitter, right? It's for friendships, but it's also to network and find out how you can help them, how they can help you, or how you can help your friends connect with their friends based on the resource and knowledge that you have. That's how you're a true networker. And if you grab the book, Networking to the Affluent, by Dr. Thomas Stanley, that will give you a guide on how to use Twitter. It is a phenomenal book. It was written years ago, has nothing to do with Twitter per se. Twitter wasn't around when the book was written. But if you adopt the concepts of marketing, networking, and selling to the affluent, he has a series of all three books that way, just grab the Networking to the Affluent. It'll teach you what type of networker you want to be, and then that's the role you adopt for Twitter. That's what I think that's the fastest way to learn how to make the best use of Twitter that I could possibly recommend, even above Twitter Revolution. Yeah.
I love it.
Recommending a book over my own. and can I just mention my hub site so then they can check out more videos?
Absolutely.
So if you go to tribalseduction.com, that's going to give you, number one, you'll be going to the landing page where you can opt in with your best email address, not your phony one, because, you know, I can't share these secret strategies with a phony email address. And then you'll notice that right next to it, it says journal. That's where the blog is hosted. And then the other pages are products and services. But that gives you an example of what a hub site on the Blog i360 system is. But it's tribalseduction.com. That's my blog. And you'll immediately go to the home page, which is what we like to call the massage page, because it gives you some information. I think it gives you a funny video. I'm not quite sure if it's funny or not, but it's hopefully engaging. And then there'll be a place where you can sign up so that if I have either future teleclasses or information or other videos on social media, you'll get them first. And now that I've got internet access, James, I'm excited because I think I'm going to be blasting lots of videos up there that have been store.
You got 2 weeks of catch up.
Oh my gosh, you don't even. I think I'm going to be up for the next 48 hours on the internet. My eyes are going to be big, wide eyed, like, oh, I'm on the internet. I'm getting my fix.
More distractions for you.
Exactly.
Well, awesome. Deb, thank you so much for this. We turned this into basically like a 90-minute call. And thank you once again, everyone, for joining us. The replay will be available after. I'm going to keep it up for a while, and I'll go ahead and send it out again in an email for everyone so they can listen to this, take more notes if they want. Make sure you're following Coach Deb on Twitter, at Coach Deb. And go ahead and check out the killer BlogI3 system software that I just started using. And I'll probably be sending out an email within the next couple of weeks as I get it all set up and show you my progress with it and how it's going to be working for me in my business. So thank you, everyone, once again. My name is James Wedmore, and this has been an awesome call with Coach Deb. And I'll see you all next time.